Welcome to Books in the Biz, the show where real-world business meets real-world results. Hosted by business strategist Dan Paulson and veteran CFO Richard Beltry, this podcast breaks down the stories, trends, and financial insights shaping today's companies. Dan brings decades of experience helping leaders simplify operations, build strong cultures, and scale with confidence. Rich adds his deep financial expertise from guiding organizations across healthcare, construction, logistics, and professional services. Together, they dig into what's really happening behind the numbers and what it means for owners, executives, and anyone trying to grow a stronger, smarter business. This is practical conversation, real talk, and tools you can use right now. Welcome to Books in the Biz.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Books in the Biz. We have our crew here today. Rich, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully. Kelly, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited for today's conversation.
And you are here. You're real. You're live. You can hold fingers up in front of your face, and it's not just AI person. Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. So this episode is to talk about AI. And Kelly, the reason we brought you back, I think, is mainly because we know people are using AI for a lot of things. Yep. And most of our discussion, we'll talk about some of the AI out there. I think all of us use AI. The difference is, are you an expert at what you do, or are you relying on AI to give you information and feedback about something maybe you don't know as much as you should about, and why it's maybe not a good idea to just go to chat or any of the other ones and just ask it a question and assume that what it spits back to you is accurate. So, Rich, I'm going to actually start with you today because we missed you last week. We were all alone. We were without you. You know, you and I have talked about this from the accounting side. And two of the things I've often heard you mentioned is a lot of accounting is either outsourced overseas, or we have things like a certain, we'll call it financial accounting software that a vast majority of businesses use that also claims AI, and, you know, is it really doing what it should be doing? So why don't you give us some background in what your experience from the financial world in AI is all about?
Yeah, I think that there's a few of the softwares out there that are claiming that they're using AI in their software, and I basically have no doubt that they're using something. It's a question of what. And I think that the level that's sort of marketed is not necessarily the level that they're necessarily at. And if you've got all day to play around with it, you can probably figure out, oh yeah, look at that, it's using AI. But I just spent a day trying to figure out, you know, are you actually doing it or not? So you didn't save me any money. I just spent the whole day trying to figure out what it is that you're doing for me. But, you know, when you talk about the one software that I think we're kind of holding off on using the name, you know, they claim that they're using AI, but 20 years ago they were classifying, you know, well, what did we do last time when we paid ShopRite? Or what was the last, you know, thing that we did when we paid the insurance company? Well, it went to the category insurance. Yay, we're great, we're AI. You did it 20 years ago. You're basically telling me that you're selling me something new, but it's something you couldn't get me to pay for 20 years ago, and now you can because everybody's onto this AI kick. And, you know, I'm starting to get a little tired of it at the same time that I'm really trying to get behind it. You know, from an accounting standpoint, I've got people trying to build AI that can do full-fledged financial models in a matter of hours as opposed to months, you know, acquisition models, quality of earnings models, you know, and I really do hope that they are making progress, but I don't believe that they're at the point where I can say, hey, go use this model because it's perfect. It's already in place. I have a real quick story. I went on a very specific GPT, you know, program. Okay. I had been talking to them about trying to hire them to take over some work and, you know, sounds like a great idea, but it's one of those things where years ago, when you're buying a used car, you know, open the hood, is there an engine in there? Like, what are we looking at? So, you know, I went to the software salesperson's, you know, meeting or whatever, but I walked away and I went to a presentation that their CEO did. And then basically this software is supposed to be your agent to take all of your information and populate a tax return. So at that point, you don't need a staff. They're doing everything for you. And then you go right into review mode. Wow, that sounds fabulous. Okay. 2 weeks ago, he was going to take $5,000 from me to buy 150 tokens to do 150 tax returns. Okay. And then I went to this presentation and they said, the software is not ready yet. We don't have it prepared where that can actually happen until the end of the month. So there's another 10 days from now. There was 2 weeks from the salesman saying, where's your credit card? Like, okay, guys, guess what? Slow down. Because I don't even know if it's going to work and you want my credit card. Like, whoa, you know, the rules of business have not thrown, you know, we haven't thrown them out the window. They're not in the pool, they're not underwater. You know, the rules of business still stand. And if I don't have an operating product, you don't get retail price from me on my credit card day one. Like, no. Now, July 31st, when you told me it's ready, guess what? I'm coming back to you and I'll ask you again, where are you? Where do you stand? You know, can I just buy half of that and just get the research part and not worry about the prep because you can't do it anyway. So anyway, I'm on a soapbox and I apologize for that. But that's the type of stuff that I'm seeing. And that's the stuff that's driving me crazy. The stuff that's out there is wowing me, right? ChatGPT. Sorry, I used the name. Okay. The big one.
I think it's fine that you used the name. We're not accusing them of doing anything wrong.
No. The big one has been helping me. I found a couple of errors that makes me a little nervous. The second biggest one, you know, I have people basically telling me it's a game changer. You have to get it and you have to get the ad in for Excel because then you have number two, built into your Excel, and it's going to do things for you that Excel can't even do. So it's almost like you have an agent in your spreadsheet that you can continue to build that model. Very neat for me, you know, very interesting to see what it can do. A lot of time being spent to figure out whether or not, you know, what's going to work the best. And every day there's a new one. Every day there's another ad. Hey, come support us. Come join ours. You know, it's going to get to the point, just like everything else. It's all going to fail. It's all going to hit a brick wall, and either they're going to consolidate and we're going to get down to the ones that can survive. So, yeah. Sorry. I went
a little too far. Good. I think that ties in well to, I'll add more onto that a little bit. Kelly, though, I'll go to you because I see a lot of businesses, including some of my clients, that maybe get a little too reliant on AI for HR.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure you have some stories you could share about that as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There are a number of people that are, you know, they're kind of in that, oh, HR is common sense type mindset. Like, this just isn't a big deal. My business is different. Just kind of these tropes that we've heard for years. So they are reliant on AI. So by the time that they get to me, they've been burned, sometimes a little bit, sometimes a lot, where they were like, wait a second, I thought I was getting sound advice from whatever program they were using. And something happened where they're like, wait a second, there's a difference between like AI is a tool. Okay, let's just call it what it is. It is a very helpful tool, but at the end of the day, it is a tool. Our mouth is a tool. This is not going to do the thinking for us. And like, we all know this, but I think we're pretty distracted. Like, Rich, what you were saying about this new and shiny thing, we're really distracted by all of this stuff that is admittedly really cool, but at the end of the day, it's not necessarily helping us. It's supposed to be a convenience factor, but now we have to spend all this time like re-verifying the accuracy of the information. So that's not a time saver either. So one of the things I'm seeing, kind of two themes, especially from the perspective of HR coming out. One is credibility. Like, credibility matters, and actual real world experience matters. If it truly was as simple of, hey, I'm just going to enter a prompt for all people issues, any people issue that may happen, and actually get an accurate response, then I think the HR industry and a lot of service industries would just evaporate overnight. But the fact that we're not going anywhere and it's actually getting stronger tells me these kind of these tried and true principles are becoming more and more highlighted as, hey, this is where the value is. The value is in the credibility. The value is in the authenticity and the realness of, hey, I can call a real person who has actually experienced this before and get a better response than just going to a chatbot. So I feel like I'm getting on my soapbox as well. For me, it's AI is frustrating in that way, because it's like, why, you know, it didn't have to be so hard or so painful for you. But at the end of the day, I am glad that some business owners are like, you know what? It does pay. You know, I feel a little bit silly now thinking I can pay $29.99 or whatever it is a month and actually have that replace 15, 20 years of expertise. They wouldn't say that about themselves. So why are they applying it to other people?
Exactly. I see it, you know, I think as Rich pointed out, and as you reiterated, you know, this is the new shiny object. Yeah. And there's a lot of talk about it and a lot of buzz. And, you know, if you listen to the media, they say it's going to replace all of us and we're going to be out of work. And I'm not really that concerned about it, because from what I see, it's not quite there yet. Actually, it's a long way from there. Yeah. As we were talking about before we jumped on this podcast, I've used one quite a bit, the large learning model one that most of us are familiar with. There's another one out there called Claude, which is different in a lot of ways, but now as I was, you know, tinkering around with it this last week, so I kind of had some perspective of what to deal with. Turns out the first one, it's pretty much adapted a lot of what Claude does. And what I see with Claude is it's more task oriented and it's more working on your system versus chat, which is more in the cloud based processing. Yeah. I have found from experience is chat wants to make you really happy and make you think you're the smartest person in the world. And whatever you tell it, it will reiterate back to you like you are God's gift to creation, and it will throw in a lot of BS on top of it. So if you don't know what you're doing or what you're talking about, you'll get stuff that looks really, really good.
Yep.
Is completely backwards. And, you know, here's my example for that. So I was working with the company. They needed an assessment because there were certain financial and operational issues going on. They knew, you know, high level what was not working right, but they really wanted somebody with an outside perspective that had expertise to come in and evaluate it. What I found chat to be really good with was helping me compile information, not replacing information. So what I mean by that is I would enter some, you know, basic information and it would help me put it in a readable format. But I also had to double check and triple check everything, because sometimes it would go and make crap up that I never said or that I never gave it feedback on. So you really do have to pay attention to this. And this is where the naivete of, you know, somebody who might be in a different profession altogether, say medical, construction, whatever it might be, to what you were talking about, Kelly. They have an HR issue. I'll just ask chat and it's going to give me an answer. Well, it'll give you an answer and maybe it's the right answer. Maybe it's partially the right answer, or maybe it's way off base. But how do you know if you don't have the expertise? If you don't have 20, 30, 40 years of experience, you know, if I look at the people on this podcast, you know, if we added up our experience, I'm pretty sure we would be doing pretty well in each of our own fields. You just don't get that with chat, because chat wants to answer your question in the way it thinks you want the answer. It's mm-hmm. going to pull, you know, it's like Google, it's going to pull some information out there. It's going to compile it together and it's going to give you some feedback. And like I said, sometimes that feedback is decent. Sometimes it's partially right. And sometimes it's like, what the heck were you thinking?
Yeah.
And that's where, back to your authenticity thing, I think that's what people are seeing. Because I, full disclosure, I played around with certain things. I tried, you know, when I launched the book, I'm like, I can't pay tens of thousands of dollars for somebody to do a video for me. There's this AI bot that's advertising. They can do realistic looking videos. Hey, I'll spend $20. I'll give it a try. Not good. Posted a couple of them. Didn't like them. Closed it up because it would go from $20 to like $90 really quick if I didn't do that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not afraid to test stuff like that. But all my videos are legitimately me. And Kelly, you and I had talked about that. You know, that's where I think the authenticity comes in. Is yes. they want to see a live person. They want to know you're real. I might use chat, for example, to create certain imagery because, you know, let's face it, again, to pay somebody to actually go out there and create that, or to have somebody take headshots of me every time I'm at the whim that I need a new look, it's not always realistic. But, you know, I consider that fairly minor because, again, I'll use the live video to replace 99% of that information. So, I mean, what do you guys think really people should be looking at AI for, and where does it stop being just automatically go to AI for the answer versus really you need to talk to an expert about this? And either one of you, jump in.
Rich, you want to go ahead?
I would love to have Jarvis in my house. Right? I want to be Iron Man, right? To a certain extent, it's realistic, and to a certain extent, it's not. You know, I don't see Jarvis in my house for a very, very, very long time, maybe not even in my lifetime. Why? Because I'm asking it straight up simple questions, all right? I know how long it can take me under the old method if I go to Google or Safari or whatever and I ask a question and then it leads me to something and you're like, oh, that's not the right answer. So if it can save me some money by asking a question and coming back to me with the right resource to look at, okay, that's the tool. That's the thing that just saved me half my day, right? So if you can give me a true, very focused program that's still, you know, based on taxes or based on financials, okay, or based on just regular audit reporting, you give me those tools, you're going to save me a lot of time, okay? If you're giving me something that's pie in the sky crazy out there, that's really not going to help me. That doesn't help the tasks that I have to accomplish. And when you come back to me with an answer, come back to me with the citation, right? Not a, wow, I was thinking about it. And I don't want to hear what you were thinking about. That doesn't help me at all, because the person who gets sued if it's wrong is me. And ChatGPT is going to go, oh, wow, what happened there? You know, no, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a tool that says, here's how we found it. Here's how we got there. Here's the, you know, you saved me a ton of time. Don't make it up, you know. And don't expect me not to research it. I think, Dan, I think I told you the story where I just asked it to help me looking up FX rates with Japan. I mean, like, I didn't ask for some, you know, very, very small country that nobody knows about. This is Japan. Like, we've been talking about Japan currency rates most of my life, okay? And when it came back to me, it gave me a rate. And then I said, well, what about the year before? And it gave me the same rate. And I said, well, guess what? I just found the first point where it didn't even look it up. Like, it just basically gave me the same rate. And I said to it, there's no possible way that in 365 days you hit the exact same rate at three decimal points. Like, I didn't round it. Like, this is at three decimal points. Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't do that. Or, oh, yeah, you're right. I used the wrong chart. Why? You know, we're in the same conversation we were just in. I didn't come back to you 3 hours later and start over. Like, it's the same conversation. So why did the computer that's programmed to do the same thing do something different? That's the part that says, whoa, time out. What am I looking at here? And it makes you rethink, you know? So I see a lot of people using it for kind of joke ways, and let's make up a meme and let's do advertising and marketing and use chat to make it up. And that's great. I love it. Okay. But when you're asking and giving factual answers, you know, give me a factual response.
Yeah, you're right.
Kelly, how about you?
I think the biggest theme that's coming out for me is, you know, we're all, I mentioned earlier, you know, we're pretty distracted, and it is hard not to be by AI. And it does kind of promote that fear-based thinking of AI is going to take all of our jobs. And if you're not using AI, then you're behind. Just kind of all of these fear-based things kind of tapping into that human psychology. But, you know, Rich, to your point, I think those, what success is going to be defined by from service providers like us, and also people just in their day-to-day lives, is the people who have the discernment to say, hang on, I recognize this for what it is, and I'm not allowing it to kind of stroke my ego and tell me how smart I am, and just kind of staying objective enough to say, okay, can I pair this response with my expertise? Like, Rich, like, wait a second, that's not right. And I think that kind of the trick with AI and these responses is, and I have no proof, and I'll never be able to prove this, but Rich, I think you kind of nailed it where you were like, it's in a way, it's kind of lulling us to think a little bit less. Or not think at all and just become, so what does that mean? What's another word for that? Dependence. It wants us to become dependent, and it's assuming, it seems to be assuming that we're not checking, that we're not gonna double back and be like, wait, that seems off. So I find my chat, because I do have, you know, I do use chat as well for, you know, organizing my thoughts and, you know, hey, can I say this email better and things like this. But I saw one, I just kind of chuckled. It was like, after sleeping on this, and it's actually said, and I was just like, seriously, this is a bot, okay? You don't sleep, like, you're being ridiculous. But I think that, you know, for as we kind of go on with this and it becomes more of a, like, simply a way of being. Like, we all have phones and screens. There was a time we didn't, but now this is a way of being. I think AI is going to be the same thing. It's a way of being. So I think that we need to be very careful to kind of keep our wits about us, if you will, of saying, okay, this is a tool. A car is a tool. This is a convenience tool. It's like a fork. Like, you still need the real world experience. Because whether you're getting a job or working a job or having someone hire you for your expertise, they're not hiring your chat conversation. They're hiring you. And they expect whoever presents themselves is the one that's going to show up. So we're seeing this as well with, like, people interviewing for other people, or they're trying to, like, have bots interview them. That's a disaster. When you show up, you know, if you're hired for a job, then you actually need to show up. You said you can follow through on that, then it's got to be you that does the following through.
Yeah, that's the part that really is concerning to me. I won't call it scary, but, you know, we have probably a generation, maybe two generations, that have kind of started to come into this AI environment. And to your point, that dependency. Yeah. A, it feeds you information in a way that makes you feel really good about yourself. Oh, you're the smartest person in the world, blah, 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 blah. This, you are just wonderful at what you do. Here's a bunch of information to support your mindset. And I look at the younger generations that have grown up in this, and are they going to gain the level of experience that the three of us have? Are they going to understand how to do specific roles or job functions? Are they going to build that wealth of knowledge through trial and error like we did? Or are they just going to go to some AI bot, ask it a question, and whatever that question kicks back, they're going to assume that's correct. And I'm seeing some of that happening already.
Oh, yeah.
So that to me is probably the biggest concern here as we talk about, you know, who we're hiring for the future. And this is probably more in your wheelhouse than mine, Kelly. But, you know, I also see it where, well, we're not going to need anyone to coach our people on leadership or develop those leadership skills because we'll have an AI bot that'll kind of be like our AI counselor and assistant that will help coach these people to success. And I still don't see how that's going to work because the AI can give you the, I'll call it textbook tools, but they can't teach you the nuance of when this situation happens, how do you handle that? How do you maneuver in the gray? You've probably heard this, Kelly, because it's a familiar comment, at least in the HR circles that I hear is, you know, leadership in the gray. Well, there's black and white, and 99% of the stuff you deal with is never black or white. There's some level of deeper understanding you have to get in that situation to help make an educated choice on what to do or how to act. And if we're relying on a machine, the machine will do exactly what you tell it to do. And it'll do it exactly how you tell it to do it. And to me, this is where actually it can teach us a lot about communication, because for as much as all three of us have used this as a tool, I guarantee we've all put information into it and we've got complete garbage spit back out because there was something we missed in what we told it to do that then took it off on tangent and now it gave us garbage output. I know I have, I'm willing to admit it. I put stuff in there and I thought it was going to spit back a certain response and spit back something completely different. Oh, I forgot to tell it this, this, and this too. So now you plug that back in, you get closer to the information you're looking for. And to me, without that, I always call it institutional knowledge, the knowledge you gain over time and experience that nobody can really take away from you, that no machine can replace, still needs to exist. Now, how is that going to exist if we become too reliant on a machine to give us an answer and when we know that answer is going to be a 50-50 bet on whether or not it's going to be correct?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, we will see a split because I do think that this is exactly where we are now, where people are becoming dependent. And this isn't a shame or anything. I think it's just easy to do. You know, but I do think that we will over time, and, you know, maybe when we're hopefully closer to retirement or past retirement, like there is going to be a big difference of like those who have, you know, the people who are sought out in the market, whether for jobs or for or being hired like, you know, we are. They're being hired for their expertise, which you just there's no shortcuts with it. And the people who are dependent and really not pursuing that true day in, day out expertise, they are going to struggle. And so there's going to, you know, there's, I think we're a long way off from that, but I do kind of see this splitting off of, you know, if you will, of, you know, oh, you're using AI so much that actually I don't think that I can trust you. I'm not even sure your responses are credible. I can't tell what's real. I can't tell if you're real. Like, what is real here and what's made up? But at the end of the day, we're all running real businesses with real people. This, you know, we do need to have some legitimacy in that. And though it's tempting to have a shortcut, and I wish there were many more shortcuts, but that is just not how life works. It's the day-to-day, one experience after another, a focus on learning and just kind of that ever improving thing where gosh, if I could just, you know, have the magic wand or the easy button or all of these things that were kind of like, oh, that would be great. It just isn't part of reality at all. So I feel like I'm just kind of being the Debbie Downer over here.
Well,
but I mean,
let's,
like, this is real.
Yeah, I don't think it's being Debbie Downer. I think it is something we have to consider. Rich, yeah. You were going to say something. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm like, no, I don't see Debbie Downer at all. I think it's the legit nature of the experience that we have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, natural inquisitiveness, you know, we're asking, how is this going to work? We're not saying it's not going to work, but we're asking how. And that's a very hard question, right? Out of the who, what, where, when, how is probably one of the worst, you know, because it's so subjective to how you can actually accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. So when I'm asking people to tell me how this works and I'm not getting an answer, I'm very skeptic. I'm a big skeptic as to how is this really going to help me, and how do I implement it either relatively quickly before everybody else does, or do I take my time because it's not ready for me yet? You know, I see too many people that are basically like, well, you know, I got rid of 5 people because I put AI in. What is AI?
Now those people are getting hired back.
You know, they're getting hired back, you know.
Not surprisingly.
You know, because we all start looking at it. It's like, you know, you hear about all these layoffs and you're going, who got laid off? Because there's nobody on the unemployment line. The unemployment line didn't go up. So if everybody quit, where did they go? Okay. A lot more people are starting their own businesses. I think that's because they're tired of corporate America. I don't think it's because of AI and suddenly everybody's going independent. I think they're going independent anyway, you know, but now you're trying to figure those things out, and let's go ask ChatGPT what is going on with this whole thing. And they won't have an answer and it won't be credible. It won't make any sense. Okay. Because it hasn't been programmed that way, and there's no past pattern to go find it. You know, at least as far as I can tell, there's no past pattern that I know of that's telling me what's going on out there in the market. So we're all starting to make our own theories about where it's going. And I think there's plenty of people out there that scare me to death, because if I'm doing a tax project for somebody with their social security number or their employer ID number, and I go and I ask ChatGPT or TaxGPT or any of these other GPT, whatever, okay, who's responsible for the identity theft? Who's responsible for the security? All the things that we probably don't even have time to go into that piece of it today. But, you know, do I have somebody's, you know, assurance that this is not going to get hacked? You know, how do I know that all of these numbers are not going to get stolen, that somebody else isn't going to be able to log in and learn from my client's account that I'm supposed to be keeping confidential? And these guys are doing a disclaimer at the bottom that says, we're not responsible for anything you do on our site.
Yep.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So they talked to a lawyer already. Should I talk to a lawyer too? Like, and there's other people like, that doesn't bother me. I don't care about that. I'm like, hey, guess what? It doesn't have to bother me. It bothers me.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother you because you'll sue me and I'll, you know, no thanks, not interested. So there's so many other pieces to this. Nobody can tell me that, hey, we got to put this in tomorrow, you know, because this is how we're all going to save money. I haven't seen anybody save money.
Not yet.
Yeah, I think we're spending more money, you know, and it really, Rich, what it comes down to. So you and I, well, I guess all three of us, but especially Rich, you and I, like, our businesses are built on trust. If I hired you to do my taxes and then I found out that you were inputting it into a piece of software that maybe I wasn't familiar with, or maybe you didn't disclose to me and get my consent, I would be extremely upset. And that would significantly diminish the trust I have in you. Even if you're still coming with 30, 40 years of experience, I'm like, that one thing, that one kind of act of maybe misjudgment or whatever would completely change my experience, I would be incredibly upset. And I'm finding that people are saying something similar to me of, no, I want you working on my document. Like, this is confidential stuff. I'm sharing my employees' information. Do you have a team? Is it just you? Like, I'm getting these questions and it's like, okay, all right, I'm listening. You are really asking me, can I trust you? And we have to be able to answer that question. And the client also has to be able to answer that question.
So like, let me
trust you with my information.
Yeah, let me ask both of you this. Is, you know, when COVID came about, everyone went to Zoom or, you know, like what we're on now.
Yeah.
And they thought that was going to replace everything. Are we seeing a resurgence where people are now going to move back to that in-person? Is that where maybe we're starting to see people shift back to the office, for example, because the employer wants to know, is this a live person? Can they do the job? Do they need that crutch, or can they actually perform the work themselves? Rich, what are you thinking on this? I mean, because you hire accountants and I know you stay local on most of them. What are you seeing?
I think that there is definitely a push for, I'll call it hybrid. I think there's definitely an in-person push, but recognizing that they won't get anybody. All the people will bail and go look for the ones that are saying remote. You know, and they're trying to find balance enough where they can have some of that front, you know, face-to-face, you know, front time where they can see the people are doing the work, you know, a little bit of comfort for the employer at the same time, kind of telling people, look, remote entirely is not always reasonable, especially in your profession, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, look, accounting, we were able to go to a hoteling model before other people were, because half the time you were out of the office anyway at a client. So I don't care if you go there from your house or you go there from the office, you know, what does the difference make to me? You know, otherwise, you know, yeah. So I'm thinking there's definitely a push for hybrid. I think that, you know, most employers have realized that there's a difference here and there's a productivity issue and there's, you know, ways that you can get more out of somebody if you're giving them something that works for them. You know,
yeah.
People generally will work harder for you if you're working with them or for them. If you're giving them something, they'll give you more. So, yeah. You know, there's plenty of youngers that I would probably tell you, I'm not sure that's going to stay on, but, you know, the people that I'm aware of, if I'm giving them more, you know, more attention, more ability, more challenge, they're more than happy to keep coming back to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is it the trend? I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's definitely a trend that we could bank on.
Kelly, how about you? What are you seeing in the HR field? Are more people being asked to show up in person versus doing phone interviews or Zoom interviews?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. So I kind of view it as we're on a pendulum, right? So COVID was, okay, we are fully remote out of necessity. And now we seem to be kind of over on this side where businesses are like, or business owners are like, no, I want to see you, in part because there are so many bad actors out there. There's AI, you know, people using AI, like an AI avatar, to actually do their interview. So I am certainly seeing, no, this is an in-office position, you know, 5 days a week, or, you know, 3 days a week, or, you know, whatever it may be. I am in agreement with you, Rich, about hybrid, but more because I think that's just a more balanced approach. But we have to kind of get off this pendulum that we're on right now and find our center ground. But I've done phone screens for years. Now my phone screens are virtual interviews, and I'm asking them to turn on the camera. because I also want to make sure it's a real person before I'm sending a candidate in front of a client. So I'm like, yes, I need to make sure you're real. So I'm doing the virtuals, and then all, at least for my current clients, all interviews are in person. Every single one of them.
Well, you've heard the latest trick now. You know, video has gotten extremely good, especially just in the last 2 years. And I actually saw a video on this where somebody was actually in a Zoom call talking to another person, or what he thought was another person, and he asked that person to hold three fingers up in front of their face.
I saw that. Let's do it.
And it was interesting listening to that, because the quote unquote person on the other end was making up every excuse of why they couldn't do that, or why it was asking too much of them. Mm-hmm. And eventually it just ended the call, because that person could tell that was a bot. That wasn't a live individual. He was talking with the machine, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of why I asked the question. Are we moving to more in-person stuff? Because even the video can be deceiving. I mean, mm-hmm. the video right now, somebody actually used the example of Will Smith eating spaghetti, because that was like one of the first AI videos out there. And the first time it was just garbage. You could tell it was fake.
Yeah.
And then you go a year and a half later and it looks like Will Smith is sitting there eating a plate of spaghetti and you couldn't tell the difference. I think we've gotten to the point where the visual is getting so realistic now. To me, that's where it's going to require more of us to go and meet with our clients face to face, at least once, to let them know that we do exist. We are not just a bot on a screen feeding right. from an AI pool.
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah. Guys, we've been talking for about 40 minutes. I think we touched on a lot of stuff here. Rich, how do they get a hold of you?
Best way is just send me an email, rich@xexo.net.
Kelly, how do they get a hold of you?
Kelly with a Y, K-E-L-L-Y @leaninhr.com. All my information is on my website as well, leaninhr.com.
Good. And you can get a hold of me at dan@xexo.com. Guys, this has been a fun discussion. I'm sure we could sit here for hours, if not days, in our live bodies, actually having a good discussion about this. But I think this is enough for people to jog for a little while, and maybe we'll have more to add in a couple weeks to it. So thanks again for both of you being here, and we will talk again soon.
All right. Thanks. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to Books and the Biz. If today's conversation sparked new ideas for your company, the team at XCXO can help you turn those ideas into action. XCXO brings together seasoned executives, fractional CEOs, COOs, CFOs, and CXOs, who step into your business with the experience, strategy, and leadership to drive real results. Whether you're trying to scale, strengthen operations, improve profitability, or prepare for transition, our experts help you move faster and lead with confidence. To learn more or start a conversation, visit xcxo.net. That's xcxo.net, your shortcut to stronger leadership and a better-run business. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on Books and the Biz.